Welcome to St. Stephen's United Church online worship service. We are absolutely delighted that you can join us. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. We are very blessed today to have the Reverend Foster Freed back with us as he leads us through the 23rd Psalm, a most beloved psalm. So I trust that you will settle in and be ready to receive the message that Foster has prepared for us today. Let's join together in today's call to worship. We gather together to worship God, the shepherd of our souls, the one who has created us, who sustains us, who redeems us, who walks beside us in good times and bad, and who calls us to follow. This is our God. Let's worship him together. If you usually light a candle at this time for worship, let's welcome the light of the world, the shepherd of our souls, into our homes, into our hearts, as we light the Christ candle. Please pray with me. Loving Shepherd, you know our names and you care for us. When we face darkness and death, you walk beside us. When we hunger for your love, you fill us with your presence. When we are fearful, you feed us at your table. May we dwell in your house of goodness and mercy all the days of our lives. Amen.
Let's say together our prayer of confession. Master, Savior, Shepherd, Messiah, we know you by many names, Lord. Your presence fills our lives. All that we are and all that we have comes from you. All that you do declares your love for us. Yet when trouble comes, when adversity plagues us, we wonder where you are. We even wonder who you are. How quickly we forget that you are always with us. Dispel our gloom and despair. Change our garments of darkness into robes of dazzling light. Spread your table before us and feed us from your hand. Lead us in the paths of righteousness, for it is in your name that we pray. Amen.
Friends, hear good news. At that time, Jesus declared, "I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and understanding and revealed them to little children. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light." The Gospel of Christ. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. And friends, know that your sins in Christ are forgiven. Give thanks and offer a heartfelt Amen.
Good morning. Today's reading is from the book of Psalms, Psalm 23. It is called The Divine Shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the right paths for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord my whole life long. This is the word of God.
Let us pray. May the words of my lips and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O God, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. It is never a simple, straightforward matter to be a pastor, to be a shepherd. That's a pretty basic truth to which I am quite certain Diane, Brenda, and Phil will be only too happy to assent. Nor is it a truth offered here at the outset as my attempt to garner sympathy either for them or for myself. God forbid. Rather, I lead with that observation for the simple reason that there are certain Sundays upon which it is especially painful, almost embarrassing, to realize that you have somehow become the sort of person to whom others may be inclined to turn and to say to you, "Good morning, Pastor." And yes, this is undeniably one of those mornings, one of those Sundays, also known as Good Shepherd Sunday, this fourth Sunday of Easter, the Sunday upon which we honor Christ crucified and risen, not just as any old shepherd, not just as any old pastor, but as the good pastor, the good shepherd, the faithful one, leaving the rest of us so-called pastors so-called shepherds precisely where? And please, before you make too much haste in responding to that question, realize that I've made it comparatively easy on myself this morning. Comparatively easy on Diane and Brenda and Phil as well, by selecting the 23rd Psalm as our scripture. Entirely appropriate, that choice, as part of a celebration of the Lord Jesus as our shepherd. But it's a far less pointed text, I need to add, than some of the other gems I might well have chosen. Above all, just about any snippet, any one what's at all, that I might have taken from the weighty 10th chapter of John's Gospel, which in the process of naming Christ as Good Shepherd, manages to cast in a rather harsh light the vast majority of shepherds before and after Christ's advent. "I am the Good Shepherd," runs the most famous portion of that text. "I am the Good Shepherd. The Good Shepherd lays down his life for the sheep, the hired hand who is not the shepherd and who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and runs away, and the wolf snatches them and scatters them. The hired hand runs away because a hired hand does not care for the sheep." I must confess that phrase, "hired hand," stings badly. Because the fact is, folks like Diane, Brenda, Phil, and yours truly, we do get paid for what we do. We don't get wealthy doing what we do, mind you, but we do it professionally, which is to say we get paid to be pastors, which in effect means, God help us, we get paid to be Christians. As American theologian Stan Hauerwas noted in a Lenten sermon he preached a few years ago, there's something inherently awkward about being a paid Christian. Something that is no less awkward for us paid pastors than it is for a paid theologian such as Stan Hauerwas. And yes, a Sunday such as this one, a Sunday that honors the one who alone can rightly be described as the Good Shepherd rather than as a hireling, a Sunday such as this one brings that painful truth home in an especially sharp way. And on many days, an especially unwelcome way. Many years ago, when I was still at Knox in Parksville, my friend Al, a member of that congregation and a gifted photographer, many of whose photos had graced the cover of the bulletins produced by the United Church of Canada for use by congregations right across Canada. Many years ago, this remarkable photographer approached me with a wonderful idea. Why not go out some Saturday morning to the farm, during lambing season, of course, dress me up in an alb, have Fritz place one of those tender lambs on my shoulders, and then stand back while Al takes a photo of two, with the possibility of offering that photo to the folks who produce those bulletin covers for the United Church. Now, given the fact that I grew up in downtown Manhattan and have never had anything larger than a medium-sized kitten on my shoulders, you may realize that my enthusiasm for this suggestion was somewhat muted. But being the sort of chap who has a hard time saying no, we found our way to the farm, and Al managed to take a handful of photos, which, even had they turned out, no doubt would have revealed the fact that I was most definitely not raised on a farm. When I spoke to Al earlier this week, he chuckled as he recalled just how awkward I looked as I posed for those photos. But the best thing of all was when Al ruefully needed to tell me a few days later that when he went to develop the film, if there are any youngsters watching this video, you should pause the video and ask your parents to explain what film was. I digress. By far the best moment of all was when Al, this amazing photographer, had to explain that there had somehow mysteriously been a technical glitch, and none of the photos, not one of them, had properly turned out, had properly developed, to which I instantly responded, "Let's take that as God's judgment of this whole notion that I might be a suitable candidate to stand in for a photo shoot as the Good Shepherd." Well, Al and I both have strong memories of that day, of that whole episode, which in so many ways serves as a cautionary tale vis-a-vis the faith lives of those of us who get to be called pastor. But frankly, I wouldn't regale you with that story. I wouldn't waste your time with any of this were it not for the fact that there are, I suspect, some crucial parallels between the struggles we foolish ones face who found ourselves called into pastoral ministries and the struggles all of us, without exception, face as Christians, as followers, as disciples of this Jesus, this true and solitary shepherd who alone can properly be described as good. And ironically, I suspect that our psalm, that most beloved of psalms, in fact, that most beloved of scripture passages, manages to put its finger on the very issue that haunts us all, if we're willing to be honest with ourselves, by which I refer to the issue of faith, the issue of trust, which in this case may be a better word than faith, the issue of trust, the issue of placing one's trust outside of oneself, an act of faith, an act of radical trust, which at a bare minimum, means the willingness to recognize one's own limits, one's own blindness, and perhaps most painfully, one's own persistent need to live with the illusion of being in charge of one's own life. What a hard illusion that one is to give up. And you know, I'm reminded of something another friend said many years ago, a friend by the name of Ryan. Ryan and I, having gone through 4 years of seminary training together, were ordained at the same time, May 1990, by the lakeside at Naramata. The day before our ordination, we were presented to the members of the British Columbia Conference through the tradition in which the ordinands are lined up and publicly interviewed. Interviews which, as I've come to realize, mainly reveal how little these ordinands understand about the life they've managed to get themselves into. At any rate, during Ryan's interview before the conference, he was asked a rather pointed question. Could he name one thing that he hopes would mark his ministry? He gave a great answer. He made reference to that wonderful song Frank Sinatra managed to steal from Paul Anka, "My Way." What Ryan said was that he hoped that the one thing that would prove true for his ministry is that he would not be able to look back on it. That he would not be able to look back on it and say that he had done it my way, but rather that he had sought to do it Christ's way. It's been a few years since I've seen Ryan. I wonder how he would respond to that question today, with 30 plus years experience under his belt. But this much I do know. Whether a pastor or a member of the flock, and of course every so-called pastor is first and foremost a fellow member of the flock. Whether a pastor or not, we all struggle. We all struggle to make the words of the 23rd Psalm truly our own. We all struggle to place full trust in the one in whose arms we are invited to place our trust through the magical poetry of that exquisite psalm and many of the other psalms. Maybe, just maybe, that explains why we hear the 23rd Psalm most frequently at funerals, since even the most foolish of us realize that any hope for us on the other side of the grave is completely and utterly out of our own hands. But in and through our lives, while we still find ourselves on this side of the grave, far harder for us to live those magnificent words. Far harder truly to live as one who has learned to be a sheep. Who has learned to be a sheep, not by growing fur, but by permitting the shepherd, the good shepherd, to guide and to direct our lives. Which is why, while it can take a few short hours to memorize that psalm, it can take a lifetime to learn what it means to live as one who has embraced its beautiful but strangely demanding invitation to embrace the embrace of the one who came to us in Jesus. And you know, maybe, just maybe, that's the key to getting this psalm right. Better still, to the key to getting ourselves right in relationship to that psalm. That key being simply this: remembering. Remembering and not permitting ourselves to forget that the one the psalm references as Lord is none other than the one who lived and died and rose again for me, the one who came to us in Jesus to set us free. The Lord is my shepherd. Therefore, I need no longer presume that I have the capacity to be my own shepherd. And therefore, I shall not want, because he and none other is the one who makes me to lie down in green pastures. He and none other leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And so, yes, knowing the goodness of this my shepherd, having seen the face of love and the face of Christ, I will fear no evil, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. For you are with me, blessed friend. Your rod and your staff are true comfort, and the table you have prepared before the presence of my enemies is a good and bountiful table. The oil with which you anoint me serves as continual reminder of the goodness of the destiny you have prepared and are preparing for me. And yes, for all your sons and daughters, all your sisters and brothers. And so I trust in you, Lord. Trust that through your tough and tender mercies, goodness shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in your house, a house you have prepared with such lavishness and such grace, doing for me, doing for each, doing for us all, infinitely more than we could ever hope to do for ourselves, infinitely more than we could even begin to ask or imagine. And all you seek by way of return is our gratitude and our love. Good Shepherd, may it be so. In Jesus' strong and faithful name. Amen.
Please pray this responsive prayer with me. When I say, Gentle Shepherd, would you respond with, Lead us on. Gentle Shepherd, lead us on. Let us pray. Holy God, the three in one, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, hear these, the prayers and petitions of your lambs. We are blessed to be the sheep of your flock. You are our guide, our protector, our saviour, caring for us in all the facets of our lives. Gentle Shepherd, lead us on. We give thanks for the days behind us, that you have provided all we have needed and so much more. You have surrounded us with beauty and grace in creation, in your word, in the kindness of family and friends, in the smile of a stranger. Where there is love, there you are with us. Lead us to give as much as we have received of your bounty. Gentle Shepherd, lead us on. You lead us, Lord, calling us out of the darkness that at times threatens to consume us. News tells of violence, hatred, corruption, despair, and poverty. As we have heard from your servant Martin Luther King, darkness cannot drive out darkness. Only light can do that. Hate cannot drive out hate. Only love can do that. Lead us to the light and love of your salvation. Bring us to opportunities to ease the anguish of even one person in our lives. May we each look for ways to show your love purposefully. Gentle Shepherd, lead us on. We pray for our world, the world you made so perfectly, to be enjoyed, loved, and stewarded wisely by your people. The earth that is sick and needs our care and your renewal more than ever. We pray for those millions of people affected by climate change. Inspire us to do what we are able to stop the carnage of natural resources and the trashing of ecologies and environments everywhere. Gentle Shepherd, lead us on. We pray for those affected by situations beyond their control, for those trying to exist, to hold families together, to stay alive in war zones, for those seeking healing through the darkness brought on by the ongoing effects of the Indian residential school system on their culture and sense of self-worth. We pray for those suffering abuse at the hands of those who should be caring for them. We pray for those who are marginalized by society. We pray for those we know and for ourselves who are suffering with sickness, loneliness, bereavement, poverty, mental illness, or addiction. In the power of your Holy Spirit, we boldly ask for healing and help for each one. And we name these people to you now, either aloud or in the quiet of our hearts. Faithful Deliverer, as we wrestle with our own anxieties and stress, as well as the judgment and intolerance growing in society brought on by the pandemic, we pray that you pull us closer into your fold. Lead us by your still waters. Help us to trust you more, to seek you out, to listen for your voice as you call us to follow you. Gentle Shepherd, lead us on. Church, let us pray the prayer that our shepherd taught his followers when they asked him how they should pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Thank you again for your faithful giving to the work of the church this week. Will you join me in praying to dedicate those gifts to God's work? O Lord, our Shepherd, you have provided for all our needs. You have led us in the right paths and given us new strength. We offer our gifts of thanksgiving that they may be used to bring others into your fold, so that they too may share in your many blessings. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Friends, we have had the privilege as an Easter people to worship the risen Christ. Let us go forth now joyfully. Let us go forth now determined that throughout this week to come, we will live as disciples. Go forth now, my friends, to love and to serve our God. Thanks be to God.
Before I spoke a word, you were singing over me. And you have been so, so good to me. Before I took a breath, you breathed your life in me. And you have been so, so kind to me. Still your love fought for me. And you have been so, so good to me. When I felt so kind to me. And oh, the overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love of God. Oh, it chases me down, fights till I'm found, leaves the 99. And I couldn't earn it, and I don't deserve it. Shadow you won't light up, mountain you won't climb up, coming after me. There's no wall you won't kick down, lie you won't tear down, coming after me. There's no shadow.